introducing ourselves. I'm Ellen Prince. I'm the chairperson of this committee, and I'm going to allow the honourable members to introduce themselves. I just want to say a special word of welcoming to the honourable deputy minister. It's the second time in your term that we see you. This time, thank you for making time to come and attend our meeting, and we really appreciate it. Over to you, honourable members.
Good morning. My name is Sifon Mugu. I'm a member of the committee from Eastern Cape.
Dabai Kuanja Pelbaki is a member of the committee.
Ulifile Safako, member of this committee, and I'm from Northwest. Thank you.
Good morning, Peter Hendricks, PLO for the Minister.
Can I allow the Honourable Deputy to introduce himself and then protocol? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. So this is Kwacha. I'm the Deputy Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform. I don't realize until 5 years I only came twice. But if I was here twice, certainly probably because of clashes with the performance. I was not sitting in the beach. But that's me. Thank you very much.
Good morning. I am Ruha Mutongu from Department of Public Enterprises.
Morning, Chair. Morning to the members. I'm Khatatu Kapudi from Department of Public Enterprises.
Morning. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Gladys Porter, Officer of the Premier, Northern Cape.
Good morning, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, Kotsumweke, the Provincial Head, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, Northern Cape.
Good morning, Honourable Members, I'm Mangalani Victoria, Constitution in the Northern Cape.
Morning, Honourable Members, Denzel Machila, Public Enterprises.
Lamuhan Pizza, good morning, CEO Alexco.
Morning, Jay, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister and Members, Trevor Osprey, Non-Executive Director, Alexco.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. My name is Teresa Matona. I'm the Interim Chairperson of Alexco.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. I'm Henry Marais, Town Planner from Lisa in the Northern Cape. The team with me here is Etube Genk, Tuli from our Secretariat, Heathcock National, and next to Gerrit Botha, he can introduce himself, I think.
Good morning, Chair, Minister, Honourable Members, Gerrit Botha, Northern Cape Town Planner, NISA.
Morning, everybody, Wayne Cook from in Addis Ababa Bay and
Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. My name is Johan Rekenhuis. I'm a trustee representing the National Treasury on the Investment Trust.
My name is Tama Dombello, Professional of Institution.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Tumele Mashule. I'm from the Rural Development and Land Reform in the Northern Cape.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Andrew Lawrence from the Institution of Wicked.
Good morning, my name is
morning, Madam Chair, honourable members. My name is George Nikolai from the Equitable Access Campaign, Port Norris and Alexander Bay.
Good morning. My name is Aha from the Rapid Health Community.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Jerome Leuvendaal, Rutgersveld Investment Trust.
Good morning, Deputy Minister, Chairperson, and honourable members. I am Loli Sibisi, the Committee Secretary. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jerome Koskati. I'm the Colonel Advisor for the Committee.
Good morning, my name is Amanda.
Thank you very much. Can we deal with the apologies, please? I received the apologies from Honorable Smith. And from the acting DG from the Department of Rural Development. And also from Honorable Connie. Is there any other apology?
Mr. Wimba, CEO of NISA, apologize. They have a management meeting tonight.
Okay. There is any others?
Minister, can we? Oh, sorry, Chair. Can we relay apologies for? Prime Minister and the DG, unfortunately, there's other business that's keeping them up in the chair.
Thank you. Can I just make sure another indication? Oh, is there another one?
Yes, the Chief Land Claims Commissioner is in another committee.
We noted the apologies. Can we just make sure that all the departments relevant to this meeting is present. I try to better when you indicate Department of Public Enterprises, Alex Ford, Department of Rural Development, COPTA, and National Treasury. So you're all present. Thank you. And who's going to lead him? Are you going to COPTA? Is COPTA present? Sir, I was presented by COPTA. Yeah, thank you. Honourable Deputy, I think I must hand over to you to do some remarks, and then we can decide who's going to lead with the presentation. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to all of you colleagues. There's not much to say. I think if my understanding is well, I think Public Enterprise is leading the presentation. But needless to say that I can only hope that your earlier slay about finishing on a positive note in this term is what we should all strive for. I mean, it's a matter that started more like 20 years ago. And what becomes very painful and emotional about these matters is that people die in the process without seeing the fruits of what they struggled for. And one can make an appeal as someone who's familiar with what is happening there. One can only make an appeal to representatives of our communities, whether they are in the trust or maximum unity is one thing that can take us forward on this matter. Because as long as there's conflict amongst our own people, it becomes very, very difficult, even in the utmost sincere attempts by our government to solve this matter. So, Chair, I think that as you have invited us here, maybe we should entertain the presentation and see how far we can go. Thank you very much.
Thank you, TM. Indeed, we're looking forward to see that those people suffering and fought for the rights of them is going to be very, very glad after this meeting. I hope so. Thank you very much. Over to, I don't know who's going to do the first presentation. EPE. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning again to the Honourable Members and to the Deputy Minister. Chair, we have a presentation that will be led by Moroma Mutemu, who is to my left here. And just to remind the committee that the responsibility of the Department of Public Enterprises was primarily carried out through Alexco, and there were really two major tasks that we were given. The first one was to ensure the restarting of mining operations at the mine in Drachtersveld, which also involved transfer of a portion of equity in inverted commas / interest onto the communities of the Drachtersveld. That task has been primarily completed. Moroma will say more on it. And the second task was to bring the Alexandra Bay mining township to municipal standards to enable it to be incorporated into the Drachtersveld local municipality. That task has also been completed. In actual fact, as November 2013, the township became part of the Drachtersveld local municipality. The other tasks beyond that needed to be done to enable the municipality to take over the provision of services in Alexandra Bay. My colleagues from COCTA will say more on it during their presentation. At this moment, I'll hand over to Moroma. Thank you.
Good morning again, honorable members and colleagues. I'm just going to provide an overview of the deed of settlement and the status of the DOS obligation, mainly the two outstanding issues, which are the transfer of the properties and the 45 million. The Department of Rural Development will give more progress on the 45 million payment with regards to the CPA, the regularization of the Drachtersveld Property Association, and COCTA, represented by MISA, will provide progress on the transfer of properties and the establishment of Alexandra Bay Township. Just to give a background, the Drachtersveld community instituted a land claim in 1998, in 2003 the constitutional ruled in favor of the Drachtersveld communities, and in 2007 a settlement agreement was reached between Alexco government and the claimants of Drachtersveld communities. In terms of the settlement obligations, there were eight main issues that government was obligated to execute. The first one was the transfer of the and restoration of portions of land. Okay. And the transfer of the land mining rights, the transfer of mariculture, agricultural assets, the 45 million, the 190 million, 50 million, and also the rehabilitation of the historical mining area. In terms of the implementation, the first, is it not?
No. We're expecting to follow you because the first stage that you are dealing with is not yet. Is this the document that you are asking?
I've sent an updated one. Okay. Okay, apologies, absent, but it's mainly the same issues. Can I continue? Yeah. There are no major changes, it's just updates over there and there, yeah. In terms of the DOS implementation, on the land mining rights, the communities have been given the land mining rights, and the responsible departments were rural development, DMR, and DPE. In terms of the formation of the pooling and sharing venture between Alexco and the community, that has been completed. The transfer of land to the community, partly completed, about 18 farms were transferred to the community, and that was mainly the responsibility of Rural Development and Department of NDPE. The only outstanding farm that needs to be transferred is Alexander Bay, the farm of Alexander Bay, where the township, where the township is. In terms of the transfer of properties and establishment of Alexander Bay Township, mentioned earlier that the town was promulgated in November 2013, so it's now an established township from where it was previously a mining compound. There are about 500 houses, churches, schools at Alexander Bay. That needs to be transferred to the relevant institutions, including the province, the community, and as well as other institutions. Alexco to date has spent about 100 million on upgrading the municipal infrastructure, and the infrastructure now needs to be handed over to the Richtersveld municipality. In terms of financial compensation, 50 million was awarded or was transferred to the community by rural development. That was to recapitalize the agriculture and the mariculture, the farms. 190 million was transferred, which is now it is in the investment trust, and National Treasury is responsible for the management of the investment trust. And the outstanding 45 million, which Department of Rural Development and DPE is managing. In terms of the cost spent to date, about 1 billion has been spent on the implementation of the deed of settlement. These amounts following from the previous slides, it's the 190 million, the 50 million all, and the other funds that were transferred to recapitalize the mining operations. In terms of the outstanding transfers, the about 500 residential properties still need to be transferred to the Richtersveld Property Holding Company, which is currently not regularized and Department of Rural Development will give more or further information with regards to how far the regularization of CPA is. And in terms of the properties that need to be transferred to the municipality, there's a team that was formed consisting of the provincial government, COCTA, DPE, and rural development to ensure that the transfer of the assets are done in a there's alignment, and also we agree on what needs to be done and to ensure that there's smooth transfer of properties. Also within that, there's schools and hospitals, which the Northern Cape province is managing together with ALISCO and the department. I've touched on this slide where it says the task team that was formed to ensure the smooth transfer of the township. The task team includes also the Namakwa district, the Richtersveld Rural Development, and ALISCO. The COCTA, represented by MISA, will present more on how far the township establishment is. In terms of the 45 million, the last time we were representing, which was November 2018, a number of attempts were made by rural development in terms of regularizing the CPA, and unfortunately, we have not succeeded, and the rural development managed to get approval from the DG to institute the process of putting the CPA under administration. But rural development will give further clarity on how far the process is. So without wasting more time, I'll give over to rural development.
Thank you for the presentation. Can you give over to
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, ours is very brief. We'll not, I think members are familiar with the background and all of this. Through your permission, Chair, I'll start at slide 18. But before that, then, Chairperson, just to inform the committee that since our last appearance here, I think it was last year, the 20th, we have not registered any progress in terms of regularizing the CPA. We have not. We have done everything we could, Chairperson. At some point, the Honorable Deputy Minister Squasha went there. There were undertakings from the community. Nothing happened. So since then, Chairperson, we have not moved at all. But just briefly to say, Chairperson, before the DG, you know, before we advise the DG, you know, to, to place the CP under administration, it was not an easy decision, DG, Honorable Chairperson. Because in terms of the CP,
DM, we did a note that you were apologizing, you were welcome to.
Okay, thank you, DM, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. So what we are saying is that, Chairperson, before the DG, you know, resorted to this, you know, there were serious, you know, processes that preceded that. I remember immediately after our appearance here, as per the decision of the committee, we appointed an election company to assist the CPA, you know, to convene an AGM and also to hold elections. All those efforts were thwarted, Chairperson. We could not succeed. And also that there was the community of Lekkers, That was around October last year. They also insisted that there be elections for the CPO committee. Remember, the last time when the committee elected, the CPA elected the committee was in 2013. And it means that the mandate of the current committee expired in 2016. So since then, we have tried, you know, to ensure that at least there is an AGM with the understanding that once an AGM is held, then there will be election for a CPA. We could not succeed in that, Chairperson. What then happened, Chairperson, after we have done everything, we then advised the DG, because she's the only one, the DG of Rural Development and Reform is the only person who can place a CP under judicial administration. We engaged the DG. I think it was for a period of about 3 months, because the DG wanted to satisfy herself that the advice that we are giving to her is legally sound. We went further, Chairperson. I know there were meetings between our DG and the DG of Public Enterprises. They were in the same meeting also to discuss this matter. Then at the end, we were requested, you know, to develop a joint action plan, rural development and public enterprises, to say once the CP is placed under administration, then this must happen. So in our presentation, Chairperson, we have indicated the processes that must be followed post the appointment of an administrator. It starts from slide number 23, Chairperson. Some of them, I think, Moronga touched on them. To say, once this person, because it's only the court that can appoint, the administrator. But currently what we are struggling with, Chairperson, is the Office of the State Attorney in Kimberley. That's why I'm glad the colleague from the Office of the Premier here, state law advisors from the Office of the Premier, because they are also not assisting us, Chairperson. We requested them to approach the court to appoint an administrator. Now they are giving us a legal opinion. We don't want a legal opinion because the person who has the authority to take a decision in terms of placing a CP under administration has taken a decision. Now they want to take us back and forth. That's why we have extended this to others. And Chairperson, also to indicate that the political leadership in the province of the Northern Cape, the Premier is the head, they are aware of this. Every time when we go as Rural Development and present in the Premier's IGR, we are asked about Rustenburg. On two occasions, the Premier wanted progress, and it was like we are not moving, but it was before our DG could approve that the CP be placed under administration. And then, Chairperson, just to remind members, it was not an easy decision, like I said. For a CPA to be compliant, Chairperson, there are five things in terms of the CPA Act. A CPA, one, must have an updated list of beneficiaries. Rustenburg is something that we... Secondly, a CPA must be able to report on the land dealings, if they like the issues of Aleso. I'm not talking about others reporting, the CPA itself report. Thirdly, on an annual basis, a CPA must submit an audited financial statement. The fourth issue of compliance is holding an annual general meeting. The last one, Chairperson, on a regular basis, after 3 years, there must be elections to elect the executive committee of the CPA. So what we are saying, Chairperson, is that the Rustenburg CPA has not complied with its own constitution. That is why we have recommended to our DG to place the CPA under administration, and that recommendation has been accepted. It's now a decision. What is left now, Chairperson, is the court process to unfold. So we are trying to engage everybody. I think the Office of the Premier, they will be assisting us to ensure that this decision of the DG is implemented, where state attorneys, the Office of the State Attorney, must approach the High Court, you know, to appoint an administrator. I think, Chairperson, in brief, that's what we want to share with the committee, to say we have done everything, Chairperson. Nothing has borne any fruit. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Sorry, can I just give this one to my colleague?
the report. Because it is going to be Yamakar if you ask questions in the middle of you can proceed.
That is our story, Chairperson, around the regularization of the CP. CPA, I mean. Okay. Okay.
Are you done?
Yeah, I mean, we are done too.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We are busy with this presentation that is printed in landscape format. Chair, MISA represents COCTA in this matter. You will recall at the initial meeting that was held in November 2017, this committee resolved that COCTA should start taking leadership in coordinating. So that is what we are doing. Out of that came a task team, which is known as the Richtersveld Alex Corps Handover Task Team. That is incorrect, by the way. It should be Alexander Bay Handover Task Team. Sorry for that mistake. Now, the task team does many things, but it does not do all things. But if you look at what we were supposed to do, I made this remark here that is important for us to recognize that for the purposes of our report, we measure our progress against the content of the agreement that was drawn up to establish the task team. So we are not measuring what the municipality does or other people do. We are measuring what the task team does. The task team agreement was signed by the members there on the left-hand side, which includes ourselves, MISA, for COCTA, the Richtersveld Local Municipality, Alex Corps Limited, the Department of Public Enterprises, the Office of the Premier of the Northern Cape, COCSTA Northern Cape, and Makwa District Municipality. The other members, which we called ad hoc members, it might not be the correct term, but members that participate for the duration of what is of interest for them. If that particular aspect is dealt with and finished, they are no longer members of the committee. But they are listed there on the right-hand side. And I think, in fact, we should perhaps move the Department of Rural Development to the left-hand side there. So MISA's role, more specifically, as I said earlier, is more of a coordinating and facilitating responsibility. We have to convene monthly meetings. We have to help with outstanding issues in terms of the deed of settlement. We have to do progress reports as chair, basically, of that task team, and to a large degree also the secretariat. In actual fact, the Richtersveld Local Municipality provides the secretariat, but sometimes they cannot keep up, so MISA does some of that work as well. Helping to prepare a service level agreement and get that signed between the municipality and Alex Corps, and then facilitating technical aspects, meaning not administrative, but technical things that need to be done. And then also in terms of the deed of settlement, facilitating the organization of economic development in Daba for the larger Richtersveld area, actually the Namakwa community. We'd just like to point out that technical handover means the transferring of services infrastructure. I think there might be a misconception that generally speaking, the municipality will take over services provision, the management of that. But in actual fact, the municipality also has to take over the services infrastructure, above and below ground. So the deed of settlement requires that all of the infrastructure must comply with municipal standards. So part of what we do as a task team, not as MISA, as a task team, is to check whether the services that are being prepared for handover actually comply with municipal standards. One of the things that has changed since the deed of settlement was made a court order in 2007 is land use management and spatial planning legislation. The deed of settlement was made a court order while the Northern Cape Planning Act, Act 7 of 1989, yes, was still in order, in place. But that has been replaced by SPLUMA now, Spatial Planning Land Use Management Act, which is applicable nationally. And that has implications for this process as well. So we are, as the town planners in the process, we are looking into those as well and finding the necessary solutions to that. Another thing that we picked up, you'll see that there the spirit and purpose of the deed of settlement must be taken into account, point five. We were taught when, in the olden days, when you read a law, you read the preamble, and you read the preamble three or four times, so that you know what the intention of that law is, of that act, before you go into the detail. The same applies to the deed of settlement. If one just goes to the technical descriptions of transfer this to that person or that institution, it doesn't really say what the intent was. And when we get to later slides, I'll illustrate that. So what we're saying with point five is we had to analyze the deed of settlement for intent and see whether the actual processes that we enter into meet with the intent. We don't want to try and change the deed of settlement. We want to try and implement it in the best possible way. Then point six, we say we would like to ensure that legal processes are taken before transfer of land, so that we don't, a week after transferring somebody a piece of land to somebody, get a requirement for a rezoning or something to that effect that will cost a lot of money. So basically, we just wanted to highlight what the technical transfer means. If we go to the next slide, slide six, and look at the primary activities of the task team, we've already spoken about the convening of monthly meetings. Our execution there is up to date. We've held meetings since December 2017, every month except for the month of December in 2018. And we are up to date with our meetings for this year. We have developed a process plan for land transfer. It has been completed, and we are now just waiting for the regularization of the CPA before processes to transfer that land relevant to them can proceed. The services level agreement has been drafted and signed by the municipality, and my latest information, which was not today but which was Friday, was that Alex Kors still had to sign that. I don't know if that has happened, but thank you, Ms. Buta. So that would then change to Alex Kors has signed, meaning the SLA has been signed. There's an MOA also being developed, or has been developed, between Alex Kors and Richtersveld, which looks at how the services will be transferred. Instead of just dumping all of it on the municipality, the two institutions are working together to say the municipality is ready to take over a particular service, and Alex Kors is ready to hand over that particular service, and they negotiate terms on which that will be done, various kinds of assistance and so on, but that is detailed stuff. But that was also submitted to the state law advisor. I don't know what happened after that. Then we get to a very difficult issue, and that is the revision of the Richtersveld Spatial Development Framework, the SDF, to align with SPLUMA. I might interrupt here myself to say that the Richtersveld municipality has an SDF, but it needs to be reviewed because on analysis by Rural Development and Land Reform, their spatial planning section, it was found that the existing SDF is not compliant to SPLUMA in all regards because it was compiled before SPLUMA became an act, when it was still a bill. They issued a compliance, if one wants to call it that, a compliance letter, which indicates what needs to be done to make the SDF compliant to SPLUMA. It does not mean it has to be redone entirely, but there are sections that have to be updated or changed to make it legally compliant. That process started, but unfortunately, because of constraints that COXTA in the Northern Cape is experiencing in terms of personnel and so on, it has not really moved to the degree that we had intended. Now, at this time, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform have indicated that they have provided funds on their budget for the coming financial year to actually take over the revision of the SDF. Their planners will head up that process, and they will also fund it, and the target date for completion then would be 2020, about a year later, April 2020. But with that also goes the land use management system, which at this time does not really exist. And there are different ways of addressing this, and we are looking at those. In terms of Clause 15 of the Deed of Settlement, the whole transfer of land to the Richtersveld and the mining rights and whatever, all the benefits, must also be utilized to benefit the Namakwa district economically. So we have decided as a task team to initiate the economic indaba, which is currently planned for September this year, where everybody that has got any interest whatsoever in the long-term development and viability of the Namakwa region will be invited to participate. Interesting there, that is really very beneficial to the whole process, is in the middle of that of the last column where it says Sandparks developed a conservation development framework which will support both the review of the SDF and economic planning. A very interesting document, a very thorough document, but which also highlighted economic opportunities in the conservation environment, which will contribute to longer-term stability there. And then we have also said that the social and labor plan of the Alex Core mine might need to be revised in terms of this proposed economic plan to see if the contributions that they are making could help to establish the longer-term viability of the economy there, or be used in various ways. We are not demanding this, we are just suggesting this, as it is a source of funding that might be very useful in this process. Then something that we are all concerned about, and I say we all, I think, I mean in this room, is that post-mining, towns simply close down. They become ghost towns, they become a huge problem to the local municipality that has to service the few people there who normally then end up being indigent. So to prevent that from happening at Alexander Bay, or well, let me rather say, to try and prevent that from happening at Alexander Bay, we have initiated a process to develop a post-mining economic development plan that goes with the economic indaba, but the economic indaba will be kind of a once-off with a follow-up perhaps in 6 months or a year, while the post-economic, post-mining development plan will be an ongoing thing being developed to see how one can stimulate and develop the economy of the entire Richtersveld region. We are now on the last slide of our primary activities. One of the important things, I think, and the good news that the Honourable Chair referred to, is at the moment there's a process going to transfer the water treatment works from Alex Corp to the municipality. Likewise, the wastewater treatment works, the sanitation plant, the landfill site, and the cemetery. Now you'll see there that we talk about the completion of EIAs, environmental impact assessments. That is a requirement for licensing. And in this instance, those four matters are being dealt with in that respect, that licensing to be transferred to the municipality, and then they take over provision of that service. We have just from MISA's side completed terms of reference for the electricity, mainly aimed at distribution and responsibility of distribution. The intention is that Eskom will assist in doing an assessment of the network and the distribution system to the houses to see if the network is up to standard and to do the necessary licensing so that the municipality can be the distributor and earn some income from that. Then one of the major tasks that we have been busy with, myself and Dr. Buerta, is to align the Alex Corp earth transfer schedule, which was prepared for the deed of settlement. It's a schedule that says what's all the earth numbers, the uses at the time of that particular earth, and the intended beneficiary. But those numbers were allocated just in a logical order on a map. But once the township establishment took place, new earth numbers were issued by the deeds office and the surveyor general. So in some instances, well, in most instances, the numbers in the transfer schedule did not correspond to the numbers on the surveyor general diagram, which meant, for instance, that it was possible, if you strictly went by the transfer schedule, to transfer the police station to the property holding company, which it would defeat the purpose entirely. So we had to correlate those sets of numbers, which we have now completed. We know now which number officially is which and what it does and what it's supposed to do. So we are working on that. That is the basis for transferring the urban. If we then look at the land that has to be transferred specifically, we have those various zones there, authority zone, meaning the things that various authorities are responsible for. We'll see fire station, police station, and so on. Everything in the following slides, this one and the following marked in yellow, we are still trying to sort out why that particular allocation was made in the deed of settlement. In this case now, the second line there, the fire station office in the deed of settlement is demarcated for transfer to the property holding company, or in other words, to the community. Now the question is, what was the intent? It could be that it was simply a mistake, but it could also be that the intent was that the community would then possess offices which they could rent out to the municipality. We're speculating now, but that is the kind of thing we need to determine. Why was that allocation made in that way? So the yellows are the things we are still investigating. The others, we know what they mean and what needs to be done. Same applies on this slide. A creche or a place of assembly. You see there's a double land use there. And we need to establish why it was earmarked for the CPA. The community hall is the same thing. Normally one would expect the community hall to be a municipal building, and the municipality being responsible for managing it and maintaining it. So we then need also to find out public places, there with the asterisk 3. There are 67 little urban, which I can best describe. If you take the table and divide it in two, you've got two urban, but at each end there's a narrow little strip which has also got an earth number and was demarcated as public open space. And municipalities are responsible for maintaining public open space. And there are 67 of those little strips of land that the municipality would have to maintain. And that doesn't make sense economically. It doesn't make sense socially. Most of those little strips get used for dumping rubbish. They become informal dumping sites. So the logical thing would be to consolidate those little strips to the adjoining earth, make it a part of the residential earth or whatever earth it gets adjoined to, take that responsibility away from the municipality and that expense. So we're looking at that as well. We've got the same thing with sports and recreation. There are various entities there. There's, for instance, a golf club and a golf course, and we see nothing wrong with transferring that to a public, to a private owner like the CPA, which they can manage for their benefit. But normally, the municipality would be responsible for sports fields where the community can participate and children can participate. So we're investigating that. An important rider on that one is to notice that the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture will not spend money on privately owned land. So they will only spend money for improving sports facilities on state-owned land, meaning the municipality in this case. Chair, we're getting to the end now. I don't think I need to discuss all of this. It's basically the same kind of thing, which just needs to be clarified. It is not something that will hold us up by 3 years or 5 years. It is something that we can have done by the end of this year. Our way forward, the signing and implementation of the SLA, we've now had confirmation this morning. It is done. It is signed. The implementation date is 1st of July this year. The SDF review, I've already reported on that. The target date for completion of that is April 2020. We have not yet secured funding for the land use scheme. We are working on that. We will recommend to the municipality that they submit a request for funding support to various entities that might be able to help them. And they ought to have submitted that request by May 2019. If money is found, the land use scheme can be completed probably also around April next year, or perhaps a bit later in the year, but still in that financial year. The EIAs, we estimate that the furthest date for completion of that is April 2020, but we're actually anticipating that it could be done earlier, and the majority of them completed this calendar year. And then the transfer of properties to the CPA, which you saw in the previous slides, is by far the majority. It's 90% of the urban has to go to the CPA. Once there is a regularized organization in place, an entity in place, that process can start. And then we are implementing the process plan as we go along. All of what went before as part of the process plan, as part of our implementation. We are working on the transfer of properties to state entities, that is basically schools, the police station, and the current hospital stroke clinic. That is not entirely clear yet what will happen to that. But the state attorney is attending to that, and we are hoping for finality by December. infrastructure assets that have to be transferred to the municipality still depends on the completion of a proper asset register. The municipality has its own and Richtersveld has its own, the Alexcor mine has its own for Alexander Bay. These two need to be consolidated, and then the transfer of the assets will also be done through the state attorney's office. The economic endowal we spoke about, planned to kick off in September this year, and also the proposals for post-mining economic development plan to start up in November, following on the outcomes of the economic endowal. Honorable Chair, members, thank you very much. That is it.
Thank you. Can we remove it? Who else must do a presentation? Can we start with? National Treasury. Is Alex going to do a presentation?
Chairperson, the acting chairman of the trust will do the presentation. The National Treasury is just having a trustee on the trust, and therefore can't speak on behalf of the trust.
Morning, Honourable Chair. I'd just like to, on the next page, indicate that I am at this point of time the acting chairperson of the Richtersveld Investment Trust. The under the CPA there are two trusts that have been formed as a result of the deed of settlement. The one relates to the community trust, and the other one is this Richtersveld Investment Trust. Under the community trust resorts all the commercial entities, the mining companies, property companies, land companies, etc. So my report is based solely on the investment trust and the current status of the investment trust. So On this particular page, you'll notice that we just basically show the what the current state of affairs are. There should be 9 trustees in the investment trust, 4 community trustees, 1 person nominated by the Minister of Finance, 1 person nominated by the Minister of Rural Development, and then 3 independent trustees nominated by the CPA committee. Now, this particular trust has 100% shareholding in the investment company that consists of 4 community directors from each, 1 from each town, 3 independent directors, and 1 director nominated by the Minister of Finance. Now, that particular slide, which is on the screen at the moment, will show you exactly what the state of affairs is with regards to the current directors. And then on the next page, the current trustees. The directors of the company, you'll notice
that there is currently only three people who are what I can refer to as legitimately appointed as trustees. The rest of them have had their expiry dates terminated already. There is Ms. Fredericks, M. Fredericks, whose term expired on 11 April 2018. K. Janssen expired on 11 April 2018. W. Ubis also expired on the same day, and E. De Weer. And those are all the community directors on serving on a company. The independent directors are Van der Merwe, K. Grasser, and G. Ter Blanche. Their terms expire in October this year. And the reason why we are mentioning specifically the expiry dates is to show you what is happening at this point of time with regards to all of these entities. And as I've said earlier on, I'm dealing at this point of time with the investment trust. The community trust is in an even more severe and dire situation where all of the relevant directors and trustees' terms may have expired. So according to the deed of settlement, the company directors' terms expire after 4 years, independent directors 5 years. The one exception is, of course, Mr. Riedlinghuis, who is the representative of National Treasury, who is being appointed for an indeterminate term at this point of time. Next page is the trustees, and you'll notice that my term expires on the 16th of July 2020. We have the rest of the community trustees, Besson, Clutie, Newman, Swartboy, whose terms have all expired last year, February. Ms. Grasser also was appointed at the same time as I was, and her term also expires in 2020. Again, the terms, according to the deed of settlement, expires after 4 years, and our independent trustees, our term expires after 5 years. Now, since June 2016, and this is the important thing about our composition, since June 2016, we were not fully constituted. The Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform has not nominated a trustee, so there's no trustee that is appointed after the retirement of the nominated trustee. There's also an additional independent trustee that resigned before June 2016, and the CPA, not being able to nominate another person, has not nominated that independent trustee either. And then the process of the four community trustees we are all aware of, that is a function which is dependent on the proper functioning of the CPA. Just regards the funds and the reason why I'm reporting on specifically the funds that was paid over is because of a previous question which was posed. Unfortunately, I did not attend those meetings, but my fellow trustee attended those meetings, and it's regarding the settlement compensation which was paid over. We've seen that also on the previous slide, where the funds were transferred from 2008 until 2010. And the purpose of the funds was to grow and preserve the capital of the community's investment. The returns only was to be used to cover reasonable costs of the company and the trust. And then it was supposed to provide income to the trust to be distributed in terms of a distribution policy, which is, of course, defined in the deed of settlement also. As at 31st of January 2019, we can just report that the investment has now grown to an amount of 297 million rand from 190 million. And that is partially due to the fact that we have been unable to make any distributions, but we will come to that just on the next slide. When the trust was still fully constituted, the trustees recommended that the investment company, which holds all the funds on behalf of the trust, that the investment company declare a dividend of 30 million to the trust, and that the trust would then distribute the 30 million to beneficiaries. But unfortunately, we have been unable to pay that particular amount out to the beneficiaries because of, as we have stated earlier, just regularizing and ensuring that the CPA is properly constituted, that the community trustees have been properly elected and reappointed, etc., as well as the appointment of the independent trustee. The Minister of Rural Development also needs to nominate a trustee, irrespective of the number of requests and letters that we have sent requesting that they appoint an additional trustee. This has not been done either since 2016. So the rest of the processes involving the CPA, I'm sure that you'd all be aware of, the CPA needs to update the membership register, and that is part of the plan for the administrator, should the administrator be appointed. And in terms of the trust deed, the CPA membership register has to be audited in order to establish the proper identity of the beneficiaries. And the bank details of those beneficiaries will have to be also verified. And then most importantly, in making the distribution of 30 million rand, the trust will be deviating from the current policy, which is stated in the trust deed itself, where it will be paying not 40% to beneficiaries, but 100% of the dividend to the beneficiaries. And the main reason for having made this decision from the trust side was to just alleviate some of the severe poverty that exists currently within the community. So that decision, of course, of ours is dependent on the CPA ratifying the decision to make 100% payment of the dividend to the beneficiaries. In conclusion, Madam Chair, the trust at this point of time is not fully constituted. And amongst others, we have been unable to make decisions or to proceed with proper activities of the trust. We've not been able to hold an AGM. The last AGM that was attempted was interdicted in April 2015. We've been unable to review the investment mandate which has been given in order to increase the return. The investment mandate at this point of time specifies precisely what the nature of the investment should be and how the funds have to be invested. We have been unable to do the or complete the distribution of the 30 million rand to the beneficiaries, which I think in retrospect might be perhaps a blessing in disguise. The community has always submitted letters to us asking specifically to make a meaningful distribution to each of the beneficiaries, and in as I've indicated before, we are sitting with distributable returns at this point of almost 100 million, so it might be possible to review this amount and in fact make that significant distribution to the beneficiaries to bring reasonable alleviation of the poverty in the area. Next point, as I said, we are unable at this point of time to consider additional distributions, but this also includes distributions to educational institutions. And this is also in particular important at this point of time because Transex, as one of the donors of funds in the area, had been supporting a number of primary schools in the community, and the result of the use of the funds donated by Transex was in fact to appoint additional governing body educators. So some of these and as a result of the current position of Transex, they have of course discontinued making these donations to these schools, the resulting in the fact that the schools have had no alternative but to reduce the number of governing body posts that they could accommodate and could employ. And they have, in fact, written to us also as the trust, asking whether we could render assistance. And unfortunately, we are unable to do so as a result of the fact that we are not poor at this point of time. So we've also been unable, therefore, to review the distribution policy. We are finding it almost impossible to finance the CPA and other entities under the current legal framework. And this infighting in the community is impacting severely on the work of the trust and the ability of, in fact, not only this trust, but also, as I said, the community trust to be able to function, fully function as organs which have been specifically developed and set up in order to provide assistance to the community. We find that the independent directors and trustees become reluctant to serve on the board of the directors or the trust in due to reputational risks, as all of us are professional people with our own professional organizations, and it is as a result of not only the rumors that are being sent around and the questions that are being asked, the things that are being said, it's becoming more and more difficult for trustees to carry on with their work unless things are regularized and the community itself start organizing themselves fully and that the CPA becomes fully functional. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. We're done now with the presentation. I'm going to give over to the honourable members to ask their questions. But there's something that I need the rural development to just give light on. The law on CPAs, or the bill that we passed, on this, is it going to assist? Because I cannot remember, but I can recall we dealt with this bill, Honourable Chair, on rural development, and I want the department just to tell us how that bill will come in, let alone the administration that we ask for, which is implicated. Honourable Malamba, you also want to come on that in. I'm going to give everyone a fair chance. I just want that before we ask him questions, that we know what kind of questions we can ask to assist. Honourable Malamba.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm not sure who's representing the Office of the Premier, because there was something that was sharply raised about them not doing their duty that they are supposed to be doing. Yeah.
Okay. Can I give opportunity to the Department of the Premier if you want to say something on that, because it was in the presentations it came out that you are not cooperating.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think we must clarify it because we spoke about...
Yes. Chair, let me clarify it. I also at times get confused. Ms. Buota is the state law advisor in the Office of the Premier. State law advisor. This is Ms. Buota, yeah. The people that I was referring to with the state attorneys,
those guys that we as the departments, we go to them, you know, if we want to take anything to court, not the office of the premier. I think, let me clarify it, not them. Hence, I said, I'm glad that she's here so that they can assist us to talk to those people, state attorneys, to fast track these people from the highest office in the province. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but those are colleagues, I believe, right? They meet, they talk to each other. So who doesn't want to do his or her work in this instance? You know? Because like you have put it very clearly that the premier is the political head, right?
Yeah. Otherwise we have some issues. The two members are supposed to qualify with them together so that we can see where the problem is lying. Do you want to say something on that?
No, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I just wanted to make the point that the state attorney is not located in the office of the premier. They are located in the Department of Justice, which is a national department. So I agree with the chairperson that it might be a good thing to summon them as well.
Thank you very much.
Can I give over hands, please?
Before we close on this matter, can the latter speaker clarify to us what is her role in this that we are discussing? So that when we call those that are not cooperating on this matter, we are clear about the role that is being played by the Office of the Premier in this matter.
And who must apply and who must give all those things that were speaking. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The role of the Office of the Premier in terms of the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act is actually to do the coordination, because we have national departments involved, we have provincial departments involved, and we have local government involved. So that's the role. When it comes to the issue of the legal framework, the CPA and the role that we are currently playing is mainly to advise the departments. I think the presentation that was made by Misa spoke to certain agreements that were prepared. Those agreements were prepared by our office. The municipality has requested us to assist them because they don't have legal services in their municipality. They've requested us for assistance. We are assisting them in that regard. So basically the role that we're playing is to assist with legal aspects with regard to this matter.
Are we clear now?
Can we get in? And if you're not clear, you can then also ask a question for clarity in this regard. Can I get in, Honorable Labaskar? Can we go for in that form? Labaskarni, then Honorable Misa. Can you proceed, Honorable Labaskar?
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to start off by saying thank you for giving us the feedback. And I have to say, nothing is much clearer than it had been since 2016. I have a lot of questions, Chair, but I need to start off with, if I can just take the departments that's presented here back and the committee to when we started raising and when we went for the oversight. This select committee had one big problem in this whole settlement of that whole area, and that was the deed of settlement. Because in the deed of settlement, in the original deed of settlement, things were more spelled out and exact on the mining side than on the agriculture and rural development side. That was one of the biggest problems. That was, according to our assessment, what we got out of that community, was one of the problems of the root causes of the distress and the conflict and whatever is going on in that community. Now, one of our recommendations, one of our reports was to try and review the deeds of settlement. Now, obviously the departments decided not to do that for whatever reasons, and what I hear here today is continuing trying to fix something that is, at this stage, it looks at me, unfixable. Now, what I want to know is, and sir, you referred to the spirit and the purpose of the deeds of settlement, and that is exactly my problem here. The spirit and the deed of that settlement, if we look at that, is for that community, all those communities around Alexander Bay, and Lacus and all these little, is to have a sense of property and also to secure economic development in that region. To make sure that people there have jobs and have future for their children. What we found there was nothing of that. And 2 years later, it's still the situation. Now, my first question is, I don't understand, you have to explain this to me. How can you, three questions on this. How can you regulate the CPA by a intervention of administration on something that's not even legal, that's not existing? The CPA does not exist. It can't exist because the two trusts that they have to have is not existing. It's not legal. They can't function. There's not a body for the CPA. So what are you going to put in administration? What is going to be administered by law? And if you are not interested in the legal opinion, chairperson, this select committee is interested in the legal opinion on why it should be done and why not, and I want it to be minuted, and I want it to be also rolled over to the sixth parliament to continue on that. Because if administration, that is the one question. The second one is, say for instance, this administration does take place. What will be the influence on all these programs and processes? For instance, if we look at page 10 of that document that you, on the transfer of certain of those properties that has to go to the CPA. Now, if the CPA is not existing, it's been an administrator has been appointed, an administrator is something from the state. It means that again, for how long? That property, that community will be government. It will be run by government. And if that is the implication, I would like to know how many of those people will, when that CPA is being put under administration, will be guaranteed jobs, economic security, and if that it can be guaranteed, by what projects and by whom? Because that is the bottom line. That is why we are sitting here. Not about all these other technicalities is not necessary and is needed. But the bottom line is people are getting poorer and poorer and they can't put food on the table. They kill each other. They are so divided because everyone has to fight for their own little bit of survival. And it's going down the drain. In the meantime, the only thing, the only concern that's going there is the mining, the part that the government has, and that is being secured by the deed of settlement in the way it was put together. That deed of settlement did not put together a good deed of settlement for land reform, rural development, and agriculture. And that's the bottom line. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Nika. Chair, thank you very much. Let's appreciate the presenter's presentation and be really honest with everyone here that we are nowhere in terms of
things that we have identified as this committee. It looks like we are, you know, moving in circles in this thing, deliberately or not. Chair, you cannot give a reason why Alexco, we have a committee, the CPA, that is not existing since 2012, yet we are government. It's a joke. You know, if people can listen to us getting a report that a state is unable to convene a general meeting, no, you are playing with us. And now we are told that you are about to put this project under administration. What administration? Again, we're playing with us. And worse about those communities. Maybe you've never been there and see what is happening in that community. And remember, they won this land back in 1910. Am I correct? 2007. Can you imagine? 2007. Can you imagine? Up to now, they have benefited nothing. And we're sitting here saying all the nice stories, presenting all the good English, which doesn't help those people. Chair, this matter is very serious than what we are saying here and now. If a department cannot be able to resolve the matter of transferring the benefits for those communities, because they are unable to deal with the issue of deed of settlement, that's the only thing that you need to do. And let us be serious on this matter. Let's take it up. I'm worried that the Deputy Minister was here, is already left without hearing our feeling about how they drag their feet on this matter. The presentation, we are not helping anything. Maybe e-copter to Mr. There are steps that I think, but they are useless if you have not dealt with the issue of deed of settlement. They will not work. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Nambo?
No, Chair, covered by my colleagues, but just a comment. I think sitting in boardrooms won't help us. Because the infightings by our people on the ground, it shows lack of leadership, you know, in dealing with this matter. I mean, it's not fair. Beneficiaries are dying. So let us really make sure that come the end of 2019, the matter is resolved. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I don't know whether one should say we appreciate the presentation, or it's a sad story that we are really indeed listening to. Having been one of the team that were there on the oversight, at the Rechter's Veld. Having witnessed the poverty that is indeed persistent in that area, my expectation was that today indeed we'll be getting the story that is leading us closer to alleviating the situation. Imagine when there is a hope that has been raised, but indeed you've got the figures that you are mentioning, millions, people are dying, while the expectation is there that there will indeed be some dividend. The poor people getting poorer and dying. The diamond deposits down there will at some point be depleted and be no longer there. I don't hear when you are talking of assets, also speak of the arable and alluvial soil, which is very rich in that soil. And you are silent when you are talking of properties. The community mentioned that there were implements and tractors which can help them also to plow their land and produce some food. They don't have access to all those implements. We don't have any report that make any mention of tracing such assets. We repeatedly talking of directors that are no longer there. We know the CPO having been turned into a trust is very difficult, because from time to time you resolve matters by going to court, and we spend a lot of money paying the lawyers. Lawyers are getting richer and richer with at the expense of the poor people. And we are in government. We've got the local municipality, we've got the provincial leadership to intervene, we've got national department with lawyers within their department. Why? Why don't we intervene? We are now at the tail end of our term. Sadly, nothing has been done to the people of Forest as well. Chair, thank you. There's nothing that, I'm not asking any question. I'm making a comment. But my comment is not a lamentation. It's a disappointment. Thank you.
Let me not leave this house without saying how I feel about this situation. My feeling is that the department is comfortable with what is happening. Maybe all what is happening in that community of Rechef is making them happy that those people are busy fighting while not having the benefit of what they have won. I think I must say change it.
Thank you, Honorable Fats.
Chair, I appreciate the comments made by honorable members, and I didn't want to comment on this, but then I believe that as a committee of parliament, we have authority to provide and give direction. We are not, and we are not going to be disassociated with regard to the leadership that we must provide. Now, the kind of direction that we need to give is what form and kind of imperious intervention that should happen, because it's a collective view that the progress that we expect in that community and the conditions that are affecting our people is, you can say, is nil, according to the comments that members are front-loading. Now, what the Committee of Parliament should do if there's no progress? Now, I suggest that we, Chair, we have a 4 minutes caucus as this committee, because we can't just leave departments, state departments, agencies, entities that are here in this hall without any, without saying anything that gives them a direction. We must give direction. I propose a 2 minutes caucus chair, please.
Going to give you a caucus for 2 minutes. I think I must withhold my view on the administrator because my question is more of the appointment. The issue that the Honourable Lovis Kahni was referring to, why should we go to court on a on something that is not in place? But reading through this document, page 23, looking at the CPA constitution, which clearly outlines what the principles, I can understand, but I want you as a legal person to come in, and I think that's why the honorable member asked for a legal opinion on that. However, this same committee, the last time when you were here, was asking when the Richtersveld community was presenting that the department must come in, go and assist with the establishment of the CPAs, the BGMs and whatever. I answered through the things that we was raised at the time. And we also asked for administration, to put it on our administration. That was the thing that we... And we also gave time frames that they must adhere to. So I just want to refresh our views on what we asked the department as the committee to do at the time. However, in my view, it's long overdue because we asked then and gave time frames for certain things that they must put in place to be able to address the payouts of the people, if you can recall that meeting. That was the Excel fact. The other things, like they explained to us, the administrator did, and my question was at the time, is it going to be a person outside? Because you see what happened. It's not the first time that you are going to put this thing on under administration. It was the administrator. And it didn't work. So in my view, Richtersveld was under administration. They even told us at the time it was. So So in my view is, if you appoint the administrator, it must be someone outside who has the capacity to do the things what you put out here, what the role of the administrator will be. But I'm going to give our CR 5 minutes. The department, you want to say something before we are going to...
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and I thought it's important as you go off to caucus that we just bring certain points to your attention. Let me just say, a lot of really time and energy has been expended by the department in the Richtersveld. We have been there, honorable members, with the pain of the Richtersveld people, we have felt it. Myself, I've been in this department 6 years. I've been dealing with these issues ever since, and I've also gained certain notoriety in the process because of insisting that those that have money should not be the only ones that benefit, because a lot of money has been misappropriated during this particular phase. And I would have liked also my colleagues on the investment trust to have just indicated how much money they are sitting with and what has it been used for over the years. So what we have found is some of these funds get used. The litigation that you're talking about, it gets used to cause the chaos. And the reality is there are people who are benefiting from this chaos. And really, as departments, as officials, we find ourselves constrained as a result. The point I wanted to make was that The deed of settlement is an agreement between government and the Rachtersveld community. And it's a product of a very litigious, let me use words maybe that I understand. It's a process of a very legally intensive process which went all the way to the Constitutional Court, where the community won the right to gain their land back. The government cannot unilaterally review and amend the deed of settlement. I think that needs to be understood. Some of the efforts that we've been undertaking in engaging with the Rachtersveld was to exactly get the review going. But you cannot do it by yourself when the Rachtersveld structures are in the state they are in. So that's why it has become important that we get an administrator on board to help us so that we have a counterparty in doing the work that you have asked us to do. And that has to be really understood. The point that was made that the CPA does not exist. The CPA, in terms of the law, is the appropriate structure to deal with all these issues that you've been, land management issues, protecting the interests of the... And what has been missing is the ability to get the AGM going. And the AGM, the government just facilitates. If the community cannot get around the... get into a room and agree who should represent them going forward, government is constrained. And really, I think it's important that the members understand the challenges that a lot of money, government money, taxpayers' money, has been used to try to get this matter sorted out. We have put up a figure of R1 billion there in terms of direct transfers. But if we were to quantify the other monies that we have spent, my colleague Murunga here literally is now Rachtersveld, the amount of time that she's spending in that part of the world. So I just want to plead with you on that one, that you can caucus and you go back and give further directives to the departments, but without a counterparty to negotiate and agree with, we'll be back here in a year's time to tell you the same story. And this is a product, I want to repeat, this is a product of the chaos in the community, which is a product of certain people and certain interests, both political, as well as business interests in that part of the world, using funds that were intended for the development of that, of the people there. So please, I want to just plead with you to say that you are dealing really with officials here that really take their responsibility very seriously. And as you have seen, we have achieved a lot, but we have not achieved the critical issues
thank
that you wanted.
And the lawyers, outside lawyers, eating the money also.
Chair, and thank you for allowing the follow-up. I absolutely understand what you say, and we all agree. There's no doubt about what we see, the money that's been spent, and the conflict and the thing. My question still stays the same. It's not necessary, or it is, but I think all of us understand the whole idea of putting in the CPA. My question still is, how can you put something under administration that really does not exist? It's on paper. But I'm also raising this question from the side of the community. To follow this process and say, we are putting you under administration and appoint an administrator, that will create another kind of point of conflict. That's a possibility. Is there any possibility that the same kind of process can be followed to appoint a mediator by court to that community, especially for the process to review the deed of settlement, because that is actually what you want to achieve before you can go. Isn't that a much more preferable approach? Maybe it's semantic here, but semantic plays a big role in this whole process, in how people perceive what is the processes and the people who are making decisions on our behalf and for us and with us and whatever you can. That is the real question. Because, as you say, we can sit here within 2 years' time and you can come back and we won't have any improvement here. But I know in previous settlements, it's not a lot, but sometimes courts can appoint a mediator to a community. And they have to have certain qualifications, they have to be, what do you call them, and that kind of thing. And appoint a mediator, and if the administration process has to go on, at least have two people in the community. Although it can be very complicated. But the biggest complication in this process is each and every department, role player, whatever, put one person into that community. When you put one person in a community that's already divided, you just cause more division. Because you can go in and you can get this group of people on your side and the other people against you. And that is the thing that is going on there. We have to break that mold. And I'm just asking, let us think outside the box. If you want to go with the administration and there's a legal opinion about it and it's doable, I'm not the court. I won't oppose it. I just want to know that it's on a legal framework and it can work. But I will also activate for a mediator that can strengthen the role of that process.
Thank you, Honourable Skavny. I think that is the kind of discussions we are going to discuss now in our thing. Can I give, there's two more hints. The gentleman with the yellow. You, sir, with the...
Yes, okay, yes.
And then the lady, Ms. Bota.
Chair, that is my colleague. I'll try to, before the caucus, maybe to clarify certain things. My colleague there will add. Chairperson, I'm glad that the issue has been raised that without a regularized CPA, some of these things will not do. That's why we advise our DG, you know, to say, consider putting this under administration. I remember vividly last year when we were here, one of the issues we raised is that we'll try to do everything, to support and do everything. The last option will be this, and the committee supported us. I think that's what that is.
Yes,
yes. I think Mashuni will explain. The last time these guys had an AGM, it was through that mediator called receiver, you know. But then maybe one thing, Chairperson, before caucus, that needs to be clarified. In the Northern Cape, currently, there is a CPA that is under administration, and Komani-san, and it's doing very well because we report regularly to court. The court is saying, DG, go to the Northern Cape High Court to give progress on all of these things that you said they must be done. It can be done, Chairperson. Maybe just to say that the role of this person, Chairperson, is not going to be, a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
This person is like when you put an administrator in a municipality, she's still accountable to a municipal council. This person will still be accountable to that community, not to himself. That's why now, Chairperson, the issue of the deed of settlement, who must go to court and convince the court that we want to review this thing? We can't. It is the CPA, but currently the CPA is in a state that which is not like. If they go to court, the court is going to say no, but because there are two groups in that particular committee. Chairperson, on the issue of the new act, I think I want my colleague just to clarify before Ms. Gwota comes.
Thank you, Chair, and the honourable members. I just wanted to clarify the issue of the bill and the efforts that the department had tried insofar as this project is concerned. Yes, to a greater extent, the new bill will assist in that. When you look at the current act, which was signed in 1996, is an act that had what we term the Mandela spirit of reconciliation. It never anticipated the problems that you see now in Rustenburg. Now, the current act on Section 11 is trying to put the department at least to have something to can intervene strongly when such matters happen. For one, is also trying to
establish a proper office to deal with PPAs, so that it's not something that is within the department and is a by the way thing that we find the officials doing. But it will be a specific office dealing with the PPAs. And one of the tools that this bill is giving, which we are told that is in the presidency now because it has passed the NCOP, is that it's giving the someone that will be called a registrar the power to intervene in that, in a case of Richtersveld where the committee's term has expired and they don't want to hold elections, the registrar will go to the community and appoint his own committee. And therefore, all these problems that we are discussing with different departments can be addressed. He's also talking to the issue of where a person is appointed specifically to come and assist the CPA, whether to come and mediate or any support, even if it's conciliation, and the community or any person interferes with that person, you have a 10-year jail. So which is something that we don't have currently, and it's making, if I may need to raise this, I'm one of the people that received some threats, SMSs when we need to go there. The office thought being an independent new person also in the province, because I was new then in 2017, that I could mediate in the impasse that was there. But still, you still find the community saying no. So it wasn't an easy decision for us to say we want to place the CPA under administration. And when we say we are placing them under administration, I guess you've picked up in different presentations of colleagues, everything goes back to the CPA. And it can only be if we have a functional committee which can assist in all these things. The deed of settlement and even the proposal that we are putting to court with administration, we are not saying it will be for good. It's a three-year proposal that we are saying, CPA, let us get you someone who will come and stabilize things. Within that period, one of the things that he needs to do is the same element that the honorable member is talking to, the deed of settlement. The previous resolution that the community took for the 45 million, as we were trying to implement that, it would have been unfruitful for us just to go to court for one thing within the deed of settlement, which is the 45 million. Hence, we then took other units to look at what are the other issues on the deed of settlement, so that then when we go to court, we go for everything that is a stumbling block. So it's all these things that members you've raised, and we tried to implement, but where we got challenges. We said, let's go administration just to get this thing going, and including getting the trust in order to pay some of the dividends that they have done. But the efforts that we tried with mediation in that community for now, it doesn't look conducive.
Thank you. Can we excuse you now for 5 minutes, please? We will call you back.